Let's bow our heads in prayer. Good gracious and Father, loving Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for the privilege of coming into your house. As your prophet said, if the congregation is assembled together and are in prayer, they're bound to hear from heaven. So be with us tonight, Father, as we would look into this sermon of your prophets. It is the rising of the sun. And knowing that he wasn't talking about the rising sun, because we know that's Japan, or the rising of the S-U-N, because that happens every day, but he's talking about the resurrection life that comes forth, that raised up your son Jesus and your own prophet Paul. He said, if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in us, it'll quicken our mortal body. And this is what we're interested in, Father. So we come to thee tonight and ask you to help us in this understanding. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to pick up at paragraph 20 again that we read Sunday when we began this series, and actually we spoke Sunday from the name of the sermon, which is the rising of the sun. This evening I want to begin a kind of a mini series. We need to be angry. Mini series on a seed for every season. So we're going to pick up again in paragraph 20, where Brother Branham said, the first time the sun rose in Genesis, it was bringing a message that there will be life upon the earth, mortal life. But this time when the sun rose, there was a dual sun rising, another sun rising. It was not only S-U-N rising, it was a S-O-N had risen to bring eternal life to all God's promised seed that by foreknowledge he's been laying upon the earth. No more could the botany life live back there at the beginning without the S-U-N to bring it to life, no more than today when sons of God is upon the earth, it takes the S-O-N light to bring them to eternal life. His chosen ones that he knew before the foundation of the world. He had chosen them in himself, that's Ephesians 1 and 3, before the foundations of the world, and on Easter morning then, in his dirt somewhere, laid our bodies at that time, for we are the dust of the earth. And in heaven there was a book of memory, and his attributes was in him, knowing that because this Son of God raised, it would also raise to life every son that was ordained to this great time. He knew it would be, and what a more glorious sunrise that was than it was at the beginning, at the first time it was dawn. Now we're talking about the predestinated seeds of God that God placed in the earth in spirit form, even when the earth was without form and void. In other words, when it was still spoken word, and we as spoken word were also placed in the earth at this time. Now from works of faith expressed, Brother Ram said, like God in Genesis 1, he said, let there be light, and there, let there be this, let there be that. Created man in his own image, image of God created he them, male and female, and there was nothing on the earth yet. Then we find out in Genesis 2 here that he made man in his own image. There was no man to till the soil. And after the rest of the creation, what was it? It's his words. Words. He was speaking it. And then, and when he spoke it, he said, let there be light. And there might have not been light for 800 years afterward. Might not have been no light, but he said it. And as long as he said it, let there be a palm tree. Let there be an oak tree. Let there be this. Them seeds was forming down beneath that water. And that's right. And in the season, in the time of its own season, it brought forth. It can't fail. It's God's word. It just can't fail. It's been expressed. Now notice he said, in the season, in the time, in its own season, it brought forth. So we see that there is a seed for every season. And a seed for every, and a season for every seed. Therefore, what I wish to bring out this evening is that in order for the seed to come forth, there must be a certain season and a certain light condition during that season for that seed to come into manifestation. Because if the seed comes up because of the light and water, the word, yet if that light shifts into another season, before the seed is mature, there cannot be a harvest. The winter light is not at the right angle, nor does it produce enough warmth to produce a crop. So there is a seed for a season and a season for every seed, and that is what I wish to address this evening. Now, from Christ is the mystery, Christ revealed in his own word, Brother Bram said, the thing that's the matter with the message today is those who obtain it in their heart, not just here, but those that obtain it in their heart must lay in the presence of the sun to get ripened. See, you can pick up the message and then let the sun bake all the greenness out of you, see, make you mature Christians. You see what I mean? God's coming soon to receive his church, and we must have that type of Christians for him to receive. The wheat's got to get ripe. All right? And there's a certain process every seed must go through in order for it to come to a ripening experience. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 4 concerning this process that God has ordained, but we'll get to that at the right time in this mini-series, which will be in part number 3. But Paul goes into Ephesians chapter 4, and he tells us that there's got to be a fivefold ministry. Now, I know there's a lot of people. There's many large churches where the people just listen to tapes. And I'm going to tell you something. The prophet is gone. They say, well, there's only one voice. And that's right, there's only one spirit, too. And we're all baptized into that one body. There's one body, one spirit, one voice. And it doesn't matter if it's Brother Branham saying it. It doesn't matter if it's Brian Kiswark saying it. It doesn't matter if it's Hugo. It doesn't matter who says it. The Word of God is the Word of God, and that's the voice of God. Brother Branham says the voice of God is the Word of God. And it's not William Branham is coming back to start a resurrection. Brother Branham says the same voice that raised Lazarus from the dead is the same voice that will speak, and the resurrection will come forth. So there's a lot of misunderstandings out there, and people think that, you know, we don't want to get into it, but the fact is this. There's got to be a fivefold ministry, or there's no perfection of the church. Now, you look at all the churches out there that have no pastors, or that are just listening to tapes. Those people have not changed, they have not grown in their maturity and in their understanding of the Word in 40 years. How many people out there you know that understand Godhead or presence? And yet that is the message. Brother Branham said, this is my ministry, see, to declare him that he is here. How many people know that without Brother Vail's ministry? They don't. So I'm just laying these things up because I want you to understand there's a seed for every season. There's a seed that's predestinated to the season, and there's a season that's predestinated for that seed. And that seed could not come up until the season that it was predestinated to come up. And there can't be a harvest until the season for the harvest. You see? So Brother Brown said, God knew that you were going to be here in the earth, and you grew from birth to maturity. Things that seem so strange to you in your young womanhood, young boyhood as children, now seems very real. You couldn't understand it when you was a child, but now as you become adult, you begin to understand and find out that everything that was just set right, and it really means nothing to you now. So it is in your spiritual birth. So is it in your spiritual birth. You do things that you don't understand when you were a little boy or baby. You come to the altar, you give your life to Christ. You do such strange things. You wonder why you did it. But after a while, when you mature as matured Christians, then you understand it, see? There's something picks up and see why that you had to do it. Your spiritual birth. Your natural birth types your spiritual. How it fitted you in this life, as you grew, everything fitted right in because you weren't made for that. I'll just say one more thing about Ephesians 4. The Bible says that you grow up into him in all things, that you be no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And you can go to these churches, and I have nothing against listening to tapes. I think you should listen to tapes every single day. But I don't think that we should just come here to listen to a tape and then go home. Because people are not getting, unless the fivefold ministry, listen, I can give you quotes after quotes. Brother Ram talks about a fivefold ministry, talks about your pastor, talks about the need for those five gifts of the church. Paul says that you won't grow up. He says you'll remain babies unless you have a true fivefold gift in the church. So, you know, we can do what we want, and I don't care what people do. It's up to them what they do. But the fact is that God has an order. And That's what he has. Now, notice in this quote, Brother Bram shows us the type between the natural process of a seed ripening and the spiritual seed ripening, and that both processes are the same. The natural typing, the spiritual, always. From the seed is not everyone to shut, Brother Bram said, that's the way with people who profess Christ. Many of them look like Christians, try to act like Christians, but you've got to have Christ on the inside of you, which is the Word made manifest, or it'll never mature into a real Bible-believing Christian. It'll always be a denominational something. It cannot live because there's no life in it. Now notice that he tells us in order to come to maturity, the life of the seed must first be there, or it will never come to maturity. So we are not just talking about church people here. We are talking about truly born-again sons and daughters of God. From trying to do God a service without being His will, he said he reveals it in His seasons because it is a seed. And as it grows and matures, He reveals Himself. Now, we have a season for this hour. We had a season 50 years ago. Malachi 4, that was 50 years ago. That's not today. Today we're supposed to be laying in the presence of the Son to ripen. Today we have a season, and we have a seed for the season that says that there's a seed that's supposed to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. That's a seed, and that's a season. We're living in a season that says there's to be a manifesting of the sons of God. That's a seed, and there's a season for that seed. These are all things of God. These are all things that are laid up by God, and God lays out His seeds for their season. And then He lays a certain light for that seed, because look, you can't plant corn in January. It won't come up. You can't plant corn in October or November or December. It's not going to come up. And if you plant it in July, it's not going to come up. It's got to have a certain light in order to bring forth that seed. Luther's light would not be effective upon you today. Martin Luther's light, Wesley's light, would have no effect on you today. There's got to be the light for the hour in which we live. And from trying to do God a service, he says he reveals it in his seasons because it is a seed, and as it grows and matures, it reveals himself. That's what we're looking at in this hour. Now notice this thought here. Brother Brown says, he, God, reveals it in his seasons because it is a seed, and then he goes on to talk about how it must mature. That is what we will deal with tonight. The fact that there must be a certain seed for a certain season. For there is a seed for every season. And in order to understand what seed there is to be in your day, you must first understand what day that you're living in. Then we can understand what seed is supposed to be manifested in this season. From Luke 12, verse 42, we read, and the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? What's it say? Who then is that faithful and wise steward who's going to put on a tape and play what was played 50 years ago? Is that what it says? Or does it say, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? We are not in the former reign, brother, sister. We are not under the teaching reign any longer. We're in the latter rain. We're in the time of harvest. There's a different rain. It's a harvest rain. Therefore, we see that when it comes to feeding the people, the minister of God is supposed to know himself what meat is for the proper season. Can you imagine being invited to a supper and the man of the house opening up a ham that has sat in the closet for 10 years? Would you eat it? Not even from the can. How about if it was just in a wrapper? And it sat in the closet for 10 years. Would you eat it? It'd be full of maggots. And no one would ever want to sit down to eat meat that is out of season. And when any food gets overripe, then it begins to rot. Therefore, the Scripture speaks of the importance of meat that is for the season and not out of season. Now, from the man that can turn on the light, Brother Brown said, and we know that in the beginning it must have been foggy and dismal and dark, as the world was turning, and when God knowed that it had a need of light, Now his seed was ready already in the earth because he planted it there. Now he needed life to bring forth that seed, to make that seed live, because the seed was already there. Just like it is in each age. God has foretold us what will take place in each age. The only thing he needs is the manifestation of the light of God upon that scripture to make it live for that age. Listen, if you're not preaching being conformed to the image of the firstborn son, there's no light can come upon that scripture. It's got to be presented to the people so the people can step into it. You see what's happening? Now, he says, now his seed was already in the earth because he planted it there. Now he needed light to bring forth that seed, to make that seed live, because the seed was already there. Just like it is in each age, God has foretold us what would take place in each age. The only thing he needs is the manifestation of the light of God upon that scripture to make it live for that age. And it will do it as long as the light can get to the word. Well, what if we decide that we're just going to shut down all the churches and just listen to tapes? Do you think anybody is going to grow? I'm just asking a question. I mean, I believe Brother Branham was a man of God, and that was the voice of God to us in this hour. But if there isn't an echo of that voice stops. There's got to be an echo, and that echo should begin from the pulpits and go out to the people, and the people should be echoing it. And then it's just one voice. An echo, although you hear it many, many times, it's the same voice. You understand? The only thing he needs is the manifestation of the light of God upon that scripture to make it live for that age, and it will do it as long as the light can get to the word. If the word is germinized, it'll make it live if it's promised for that day. You might plant wheat at one time or a grain at another time. Some come slower than the other because it depends on the season. God's word comes in season. The law and grace and so forth, as we went down through the ages, and each time it's lit up by the manifestation of the light spreading forth the light that's in the seed. So you see the importance, brother, sister, of God sending a preacher. Someone who is yielded to the Holy Spirit to look into the Word of God and to look at the season for which they live. Now, Brother Branham himself said, he said, my ministry is different from most preachers. He said, what I do is I look and I see things and I take it back to the Scripture. And I can say that's exactly what I've been doing my entire ministry. I don't know any other way to do it. I'm not a professor type preacher. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a person who can get up there and theorize. But what I do is I see life and I take it to the Word. I see death, I take it to the Word. And I show the seeds. Because Brother Ryan said every seed has a source in Genesis. All right? So notice that it depends on the season. God's word comes in season. Notice law came in season and grace came in a season. And so forth. As we went down through the ages, and each time it's lit up by the manifestation of the light spreading forth the life that's in the seed. Now notice, we know spiritual meat is for the season because God's word lays out the season and the promise for each season. In other words, the prophet was a seed. He just put the seeds in the ground. But there's got to be people to water those seeds. There's got to be people to harvest those seeds. Proverbs 15:23. And a man hath joy for the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? You ever thought about what that scripture means? Then we may also assume that if a word is spoken in its proper season, and that word is good, then what the word spoken out of season, what is it? It would be bad. What if I made a promise to you to give you a ticket to an event that you really wanted to attend? What if I made that promise to you in advance of that event? That would be good, right? But what if I made that promise after the event had already come and gone? Brother John, I have some football tickets for the Super Bowl. Well, it was last year, but you can have them. Then that promise would not do you any good, and then it would be no good. It wouldn't be a good word. Now, from the paradox, Brother Anne said, a leaf hangs on the tree to serve a purpose. And you are, and you and I are hanging on a tree of life after we've received Christ. And after a while, when the season changes, the life goes out of the leaf, down into the root, comes back again next year, bringing a new leaf. And we Christians who believe in Christ have eternal life, and we're hanging on the tree of life. But someday this old leaf will drop off, return back to God that give it, only to come back again in another season. In other words, resurrection season. This season we are divided, we're men and women. And all it is a seedling season. So Brother Bram is letting us know that, look, this season now is a seedling season. In other words, I am planting, I am planting, I am planting, is what he's telling us. The tree continually, year after year, to bear record and testimony of the living God. From Psalm 145 and verse 15, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Now, if he said that we are in a seeding season now, and that was in 1962, then that would be former rain, the mora, or teaching rain, or the teaching season. That was then. But there is a reason we plant seeds, and that is to produce a harvest. Therefore, if they were in the former rain at that time, then the people must have to wait for a harvest season to begin before they can expect a harvest. Therefore, we cannot expect harvest until we are in the season of harvest. And then we must know what seeds will manifest in what characteristic in order to harvest them. In other words, you cannot say that 1965 was harvest season. We can't say that. Now, Brother Brandon might have thought, and I don't even have any quotes where he said it or didn't say it, but he was looking with great anticipation to a harvest. But it's been 50 years, 60 years, or 51 years. 51 years, and there has been no harvest. That tells us that we are in the former rain. The planting rain. I can show you in Spoken Word's original seed. Brother Brown said, I'm planting a seed. And one day it'll come forth. That was 62 as well. Now, from Revelation chapter 1, we read, now the third verse he announced the blessing. Listen at this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What time is at hand? The time these things take place, when this revelation of Jesus Christ is completed in each church age. Now, the reason he wrote it like this, if we'd have to say, well, now, if they was looking for him, if it had been revealed, if it would have been revealed to John that he was going to come as soon as those church ages were finished, that's the way John taught it. But if it was, them churches, as soon as they was finished, If he knew, if it had been revealed to him that there was going to be seven long church ages, or several thousand years, or several hundred of years, then there would have been no reason of waiting. They'd have just lived their lives out in each age. Therefore, God spoke it, and it wasn't revealed to them. It wasn't revealed to Martin Luther, the thing that John Wesley knew about the Scripture. It isn't revealed to the Baptist, what the Pentecostal knows about the Scripture. Because it is in a different age. It's a different time. And God reveals his things just in the season. Oh, you can't plant corn in the springtime and reap at the same time. You plant the seed and it grows to maturity. God plants his word and then it grows up. And when we look back and say, well, there it was, why, sure, we see it after it's been revealed. From Deuteronomy 11, verse 14, that I will give you rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. Now, Brother Brown taught us the first rain is for the planting, but the harvest rain is for the harvest. From thirsting of life for life, Brother Ram said, did you ever lay a sidewalk? Some of you men, no doubt, have done it, and just scoop up all the dirt and lay the sidewalk out and pour it with concrete. But then in the summertime, when you go to cut the grass, you know where the grass is the thickest at? Right by the side of that walk. It's twice as thick there as anywhere else. Why is it? Down beneath that concrete, you covered over some seeds. But just as sure as the sunshine begins to bathe the earth and the season's right, that seed's got life in it. And you can't hide life. It'll work its way right over those grains of concrete till it comes out so it can lift up its head and praise God. You just can't hide life. That's the reason if you've got eternal life, they may bury you in the sea or cremate your body, but you'll live again when Jesus comes. There's no way to keep you down. You can't hide real life. So we see that the Lord has a certain rain that he provides for a certain season. So we need to know what is meant by this rain. And we'll find out our answer in trying to do God a service without it being his will. Brother Ransom, like the heat of the sun to open up. When it's a tender and young, it brings it out of the ground, the seed. Then it gives it its leaves in another stage of the sun. The hot sun will kill it if it's the ripening seed or ripening time. In other words, look, if you planted, say, in March, and even grew it in a hothouse so that it would grow faster, and then you put it outside in, say, August or July, and it's not come to full maturity yet, it can't take that heat. You know, the corn gets up and up and up, and by the time you get the real hot sun, the corn is shading itself. It's shading its roots. You know, they say when you mow your lawn, don't cut it under 3 inches because it'll burn out the roots. Let it be up 3 inches, you got a little bit of shade there, it keeps the roots, it keeps it green. He says here, the hot sun will kill it if it's the ripening seed or ripening time. So he regulates the sun and regulates nature to meet his word. He regulates the church, the predestinated, the bride, to meet the season that they're living in. Even nature itself tells us today, as we see the nations breaking, the earth sinking in, the handwriting's on the wall, we see the church in the state that it's in, we see the bride in the state that she's in, and we know by nature that the church is getting ready to leave. What a glorious time. It's a time that all the prophets long to see this hour. From Deuteronomy 32 and verse 1 to 2, we read, Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as a rain. My speech shall distill as a dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb, and as a showers upon the grass. In Numbers 28 and 2, command the children of Israel, say unto them, my offering and my bread for my sacrifice made by fire, for a sweet savor unto me, shall you observe to offer unto me in their due season. You can't get around it. We can go from Genesis to Revelation and find that God has a seed for a season. Now, what if Moses had come with Noah's message? It wouldn't have worked. What if John the Baptist would have come with Moses' message? It wouldn't have worked. So you see, God has a message for each season and a certain rain for each season in order to produce the intended crop for that season. And I'm going to tell you something. Malachi 4, verses 1 and 2. The healing campaign. It's over. That was a seed for a season. That was the 40s and 50s. When the prophet stormed across the country and around the world. When all the evangelists did the same. There was a seed for that season. There was a rain for that season, so to speak. There was a seed and a season. Malachi 4, 1 to 2 is over. We're waiting for the burning, which is verses 5 and 6. We're living in the time of harvest. We're not living in the early on days of the message. We're living in latter days of the message. And it's the same message that went forth in through the lips of God's vindicated prophet that's up here on the board. Now, what if Moses came again with Noah's message, he says? It wouldn't have worked. And what if John the Baptist would have come with Moses' message? It wouldn't have worked. So you see, God has a message for each season and a certain rain for each season in order to produce the intended crop for that season. What if the ice-cold rains and the hard rains of April that had to soak the earth came in August? Your plants would die. They'd be flooded out. There's a seed for a season, and there's a rain for a season. That's why one is called the harvest rain. And one is called, he says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech upon the shall distill as the dew. The later rains are warm. The later rain, because they come on, upon directly upon the plant. The former rain is cold. Doctrine is cold. Teaching is cold. You see, harvest is laying in the presence of the sun to ripen, like Brother Brown said, to get sweet in our spirit. There's a difference. You should be able to recognize these things. Now this evening I would like to show forth, let me just read Leviticus 26:4. And I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Now this evening I would like to show forth how that God has a promise for each season, or a word for each season, and he has also ordained a seed for each season to catch that word or promise, and to manifest that word, and to produce the fruit that is ordained to become manifested in each season. Therefore, I would like to break down this thought into five stages. There is a seed for every season. That's what we're covering tonight. Sunday, we're going to cover that seed is a word that God has ordained for each season, that he sends like the rain or doctrine to produce the fruit for the season. So it's very incumbent upon us to understand what season we're in, and what that season is supposed to produce, and then we can match up our lives with that fruit that's supposed to be produced in that season. All right, number three, when the seed manifests who it is, this manifestation of the seed vindicates that seed was indeed for this season. And that's what we're seeing right now by the falling away. There's many, many, many who are falling away from the message. And they're falling away because they weren't meant for the message. Number four, this manifestation of the seed life by being quickened by the word for the season is the evidence that the seed is God's seed. And number five, all other seeds will not be quickened to life by the word or light for the season, but will reject the word for the season. Not the word, but the word, the true understanding of the word for the season. They won't reject the word in its totality, but they will reject that portion for the season that they live. Now, we said point number one is that there is a seed for every season. So what do we mean a seed for every season? Well, first we must ask ourselves what we mean by the word seed. What is a seed? Webster tells us that it is a source or origin or beginning of anything. It's a carrier of life. So what is a seed? It's a carrier of life. And it speaks of predestination because everything that seed will ever manifest in its life cycle already has in it every attribute, every characteristic, every expression. That is why a seed is the purest form of predestination. Now the bride must come to a place where they have no contrary thought from what was vindicated and revealed to us. We won't go back to previous thoughts that were in error, but we immediately go to God's thought for the hour in which we live. That's why when you see churches, even in this message, running back to Pentecost, they're going backwards. And we know the word for that is that they'll be taken a snare and trapped. That's what we read in Isaiah 28:29. Now in Luke 1:19-20, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God, and I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. The angel came with words to be fulfilled in the season. And what did he do? I don't believe it. And because he didn't believe it, he was not able to reflect it, not able to echo it. Couldn't say nothing. Couldn't tell his wife, couldn't say nothing. Here we see there is a word to be fulfilled in the season, and that is what we want to study today. So we can better identify the word for our season in which we're living. In John 1, verse 1-4, we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness did what? Comprehended it not. All you got to do is give the word test to anybody. Anybody who claims this message, sit down with them, give them a word test. See if they actually do believe the things the prophet taught. And I'm going to say it's more than 95%. I'd say probably 99%. My wife hates it when I say this. But I'm telling you the truth. I would say 99% of the people in this message are going to miss the rapture. There's 2 million people following this message, more than that now. There's almost 1 million people in Congo alone. And that's grown from 500,000 back when I was first there in 2004. So if there's 1 million in Congo alone, what's the rest of the world have? There was 2 million when Sister Vale died. Back, what was that, 2003 or something like that? Quite a few years before Brother Beth. Anyway, was it 2005? 2004?
5 or 6.
Okay. That's 10 years ago. There was 2 million people at that time. Now there's at least, most likely, there has to be at least 2.5 million because it grew by 500,000 in Congo alone. Now, if you think that, Brother Brown said 1 in 1 million. Of course, he was talking about Christianity. But still, even if there's 1,500 people, because there's 1.5 billion Christians in the world, what does that make when you've got 2.5 million people who claim to believe the message? And if there's 1,500 or 500, Brother Brown thought it would be 500, but that's because there's 500 million Christians at that time. That means 99 point whatever percent don't even have it. Are not born again. Too many people are smug. Too many people think, God sent a prophet, I believe the prophet, I'm going in. Are you? Do you have what the prophet had? Jesus said, can you be baptized with the same baptism I'm baptized with? And they said, yes. He said, yeah, you will. He said, can you suffer what I suffer? He said, you will. Peter was crucified upside down. So notice, in verse 5 we read, darkness does not comprehend it. Now, the word comprehend in the Greek is the word katalambano, and it means to take eagerly, to seize upon and possess, to apprehend and comprehend. Here we are talking about light, and it says that darkness will not seize upon it, they won't apprehend it. And in John 1:14 we read, the word became flesh, and because they did not comprehend it, they missed it. Well, I thought all we have to do is believe it. All right, let's just go that route. He said, only believe, right? Don't have to be able to explain it, but you got to believe it, okay? What are you believing? If I ask out there today, if I polled 2.5 million people or 3 million people, whatever it is, that claim to believe the message, I'd ask them, what is the message? I'm telling you, 99% would not understand what it's all about. God sent a prophet, that's it. And we're supposed to obey that prophet, that's it. Okay, what did he say that you got to obey? Well, he might give us a few things like water baptism and this, and there's even people baptizing wrong. So, how many of them got it right? Look, this is serious times that we're living in. John 6:63, Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. Notice that just after Jesus informed them that eternal life is in his words, they left him. They left him. The 70 left him. In fact, actually more than 70, the multitudes left him. And then Jesus turned to the 12. He said, you're going to leave also? Peter said those notable words. Where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. Genesis 1:11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Now before the seed was sown and planted, the ground had to be made ready. Ecclesiastes 3:1 tells us, to everything there is a season, and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. So if there's a harvest, there's got to be a harvest time. Got to be a harvest season. So if everything has a season, we must ask ourselves this question. What season are we in? What is my season? Why am I here? What is my end? And if you know what the promise is for the season in which you live, your whole focus becomes the focus of God's purpose and plan for that season. Again, Noah was a prophet of God. But if Moses would have come with Noah's message, it wouldn't have done the people any good. It would have taken 120 years to build an ark, and they would have all been slain by the Egyptian soldiers waiting to get into an ark across the Nile. You understand? In 1 Peter 1, 3-7, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope or a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, which has been reserved in heaven for you. So if it's been reserved, you see, it is waiting for the right time, the right season. And you who are kept by the power of God, kept, that means there's a period of time. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Therefore, this time, which is called the last time, is epochal and it is strategic in its significance. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So we see there is a season of trials and testings to bring the fruit to perfection, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now the Weeks translation says, you who are constantly being kept guarded by the power of God through faith, for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in a last season, which is epochal and strategic in its significance. And in verse 6 and 7 he says, the trials will produce in you a crop that is in the image of the life of the original seed. Hebrews 6, verse 4 to 8. For it is impossible for those who have been once for all enlightened, that's this message, those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and have been made companions of the Holy Ghost, in other words, companions we walk alongside of, being brought alongside and made aware of his presence by tasting the goodness of God's vindicated word, and have been exposed to the powers of the coming age, having fallen away and deviated from the truth, it is impossible for them to ever come to a change of mind again, seeing that they have crucified themselves along with the Son of God and have subjected him to public disgrace. Now, catch carefully what Paul says right after this. For the land that drinks in the rain, that drinks in the doctrine, that often falls upon it, and that produces a crop that is useful to those who have sown it. And who did the sowing? The Son of Man. It is this land which produces the crop which receives a blessing from God, but the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless to the one who sowed the land and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. The same rain that produces a useful crop, the same rain, the same doctrine produces thorns and thistles in those predestinated to be thorns and thistles. So it takes the message, it takes the former rain, it takes the teaching rain to produce whatever seed you are. If you're predestined to glory, which is his values, his opinions, his judgments, it'll manifest itself in your life. If you're serpent seed, you'll come to the message, you'll rejoice in the same doctrine, and you will produce a thief, a robber, an adulterer, a fornicator, and all those things that go with it. So we see here that there is a fruit that is to be brought forth in its season. In Psalm 145, verse 15 to 16, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. And when I read that this afternoon, I could not stop weeping. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season, and thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know He has come to give me the desires of my heart. Brother Brown said, He that gave the promise is here to confirm it. He that gave the word is here to confirm it. Galatians 6:7-9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm going to read that one more time. He that soweth to the Spirit, what are you sowing, people? He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. 2 John verse 8 and 9. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have worked for, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses, whosoever goes beyond the limits and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. What is the doctrine of Christ? He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. Brother Brown said, you can't get to first base without understanding the Godhead. How many people do you know in this message who understand there's one God and He had a Son? And God indwelt that Son. And God left that Son. And God raised that Son up. And that Son is a man. And that man is making intercession for our confession. He is a vessel. But the vessel is not God. The vessel is not deity, but deity dwelt in the vessel. How many people do you know that even understand the doctrine of Christ? And he says, you don't have God. You don't echo God. You don't even have God. You don't possess Him. You don't echo Him. If you don't understand that. Now listen. Although I might say that the life is more important than the doctrine, but you can't make it without either. You've got to have mechanics and dynamics. And the mechanics is the doctrine. The dynamics is the life that comes out of that doctrine. Now, trying to do God a service, Brother Ransom, when somebody says that they got a revelation to baptize people in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, well, that's contrary to the Word. Listen, right in this message, people baptizing in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I get calls all the time, or not calls, but emails all the time from African different places. None of the rest of them ever did that. When they say that, oh, we're going to stand and this and that and the other and so forth, that's contrary to the Word. When they say they don't believe in serpent seed, that's contrary to the Word. All these other things, that's contrary to the Word. It must be with the Word and at the season. From Show Us the Father. Now, this afternoon, we're going to pray for every person, and I don't want to keep you long. I've kept you a long night. I would say forgive me, but brother, sister, somehow keeping the message just as simple as I could, I know that seed has been planted, and it'll bring forth in its season. Now, this is 1962 in July. I know that it's been planted, and it will bring forth in its season. That's future. And you pray for me as long as I go along, and I'll be praying and asking God to help you. From End Time Seed Sign. Now, we could go on with this for just hours, but let's just look at some of the scriptures here just a minute that looks to the seed that's been planted for the end time. If that seed, a Job spoken word, Isaiah spoke of it, every man of God, every prophet of God that he made his secrets known to, even David and Isaiah and Jeremiah, all the rest of them spoke of that coming seed. And when the season come, it was exactly that way. It always does. It can't fail. It's God's Word. It's eternal. It can't fail. And all of us know that Jesus was the Word. So again, he's talking about the season will bring forth the understanding. From unconditional covenant, he said, something about the Word of God, that when a man's speaking of it, he trembles. And another thing, it blesses his soul in such a way, it puts something in him that nothing else can do, because it's the Word, the written Word, a seed that will bring forth in its season, just as God has promised it to do. and from Jehovah Jireh. He said, down in the heart of that tree, no matter how many branches is pruned off, will come forth the royal seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. God promised it. God will do it. He said that he would do it. I will restore all the years that the denominations eat. I'll restore all the years. I pruned the thing off. But yet there'll come a vine out of the heart of it. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, a man that meditates in the Word of God day and night, not to a creed or a denomination, but meditates in the Word of God day and night. He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Branches shall not wither. He'll bring forth his fruit. When? When he's supposed to, in his season. From confirmation and evidence, Brother Anson, I stood with two of my friends here in February when we were out in Arizona and we were out at the mountains, been out there hunting for a few days after the meetings, and we seen two stars, how close they were, and I said, perhaps that they are many millions of light years away from one another, farther than we are from them. And I said, I think that the God who made the universe, the God who made the solar system, who made the heavens and the earth, and created them by his spoken word, remember, a word is a thought expressed. God thought it. Then when he expressed it, it has to happen. For the word was framed, world was framed by the word of God, and things were made out of things which do not appear. It was God's word. He thought it and spoke it, and it has to come to pass. It's a seed that's growing, and marvelously, that has to bring forth in its season. Again, there's a word for a season. From Revelation chapter 1, he said, now the third verse, he announces the blessing. Listen at this. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. What time is at hand? The time these things take place. When this revelation of Jesus Christ is completed in each church age. Now the reason he wrote it like this, if he had said, well, now if they was looking for him, if it had been revealed, if it would have been revealed to John that he was going to come as soon as the churches was finished, that's the way John thought it. But if it was, then churches, as soon as it was finished, they'd come. If he knew, if it had been revealed to him that there was going to be seven long church ages, several thousand years, or several hundred of years, then there wouldn't be no reason for waiting. They'd have just lived their church age out. Therefore, God spoke it, and it wasn't revealed to them. It wasn't revealed to Martin Luther, the things that John Wesley knew about in the Scripture. It isn't revealed to the Baptist, what the Pentecostal knows about the Scripture. But it's revealed, but because it's in a different age, it's a different time, and God reveals his things just in the season. Oh, you can't plant corn in the springtime and reap at the same time. You plant a seed and it grows to maturity. God plants his word and then it grows right out. And then we look back and say, there it was. Why, sure, we see it after it's been revealed. Now, I will just say this. Brother Bell told me, he said, when he wrote the Church Age book, it was 300 some pages long. He said, if he wrote it today, knowing what he knows today, it would have been over 3,000 some pages long. If you don't grow and mature, and if God doesn't continually add to what you have, you've got it. You're dead. People can say, well, I love to listen to tapes. It takes me right back to those days. That's fine. Those days were wonderful. Like Brother Bosworth said, I love those days when we were cracking corn on the railroad crossings in order to get food to eat. He said, those are glorious days. But he said, mind you, I would never want to go back to them again. I can say what knowledge that we have today, what understanding we have today, and what experience we have with God today. I will say this. Those days in the 50s and 60s were wonderful when the prophet of God was on the scene. But I wouldn't want to go back to those days. Because greater is he that is blessed, or more blessed are you that have not seen and yet believe. There's something that is happening universally around the world right now. People are getting closer and closer to God. They're getting more and more mature. They're coming more and more to that sweetness in their spirit, that mellowness down. They've been through the trials, they've been through the fires, and they're coming to the place where it's just letting go and letting God. I wouldn't want to go back to the days where everybody's running. I wouldn't want to go back to the days where you had to have conventions every year because you had to get together a whole bunch of people. Those days are over. There will be a gathering one day, and the gathering I'm looking forward to is the resurrection. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you for the season. We know that we're coming nigh, Father, to when the harvest will be ready. And we believe, Father, that we're ripening in the sun. We're laying in the presence of the sun. We're not chasing and running and jumping over walls and doing whatever we can. But we're learning to just wait on you. Help us, Father. Tender us up, we ask. Keep us, Lord, sweet in the spirit. And help us to be ready for that resurrection time. For we ask it humbly. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, this was supposed to be one sermon, and actually, it's a sermon that I preached many, many years ago, over 20 years ago. Not what you heard tonight, but the main theme, there's a seed for the season. I sat down with Brother Vail one day on the couch, and I was telling him about the sermon. He said, I want you to come up here and preach it. So I went up to Grace Gospel and preached it. It went over the head of everybody up there, went over the head of everybody in the church here. But it's been laid on my heart, laid on my heart, laid on my heart. So I thought, well, I'm going to introduce this back to the people so they can see the hour in which we live. Only it's turning into a series, a mini-series, instead of just a single sermon. So just pray with me because we had like 27-some pages when I sat down this afternoon. And it's been growing and growing and growing. And I believe that we're approaching a season, brother, sister. We're not in the season. Look, we're not in the season of the 1980s when the conventions were going and the thousands of people get together, 700 people get together. It was all kind of a social thing. It was kind of a new doctrine. It was the parousia. Brother Vail was just showing us the presence of God. He's here. To some, it was a wake-up call. To some, it was a time of reflection. If he's here, then how close are we to the end? Others, it was just something to gather around. Well, there's going to be a gathering soon. And that's in a resurrection. And the sad thing to say is many people are still back 20, 30, 40 years ago. And they haven't grown. They haven't matured. That shows that the seed that was planted was not for this season. That's all I can say. I'm not the judge. God is the judge. And the judge is on the seed.
I was in his mind.